Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Not for the first day. Housing is in the news. Not for the first day. Housing is leading the news. I see James O'Connor, the Cork TD, talking about building more modular homes. And I see the new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, at least I hear a clip there in the news where he's saying maybe not a bad idea. So Simon Harris has now discovered exactly what we were talking about for the last 12 months. That we were looking at modular, and he quotes the example of that fabulous development. And if you've not been there, take a swing down there. It's down towards Besborough. This fabulous development in Mahon, which is made up pretty much of modular homes. They're brilliant. I'd take one of them tomorrow. And they're built quickly, and they're built relatively cheaply, and they will last. And they're available to people seeking asylum. They're available to people seeking our international assistance. Maybe it's an idea now to start building thousands of these things to make them available for people currently on the housing list. I don't see why it couldn't work. It's one of a number of ideas being tossed about. See where James O'Connor was the TD, brought it up. And I think that's a slight change of tack from Simon Harris in terms of Taoiseach saying, well, maybe we could start looking at it. Because didn't he say, and this is where I want to go first this morning, didn't he say when he was elected Taoiseach that he wants to build, intends to build, 250,000 houses over 5 years. Now, it wouldn't break down to 50,000 a year because we simply can't do that straight away. But over the next 5 years, he wants to build 250,000 houses. Let's talk to Michael O'Flynn of O'Flynn Construction. Michael, the first question is, can it be done? Good morning.
Good morning, PJ. Can it be done? It can't be done unless we make changes to what we are currently doing and face up to some fairly stark realities of the issues that have put us in a position where we are so much in deficit and so much in denial over the last number of years. Since the census came out, which confirmed the position we all knew, that we are totally not building what's required. We have become prisoners to a target that's outdated. Mm. Can it be done? Yes. Can it be done overnight? No. But I'm absolutely certain, and I'm tired of people saying that the industry hasn't the capacity to do it, and we'll probably get onto some of the issues shortly. Mm. Yes is the answer, but not without getting up this morning or tomorrow morning and saying, right, here's the target. What now do we need to do? Not expect something to change without making change.
Let's start with the problems that I, as a layman, see. Okay, and that's just me as a layman. Try to get a plasterer, try to get a carpenter, try to get a plumber or a tiler to do a bit of a job in your house. Where are the tradespeople, Michael? They're not out there.
Well, we've lost a lot of people during the COVID situation to back to Eastern Europe and places, which was highly unfortunate, and I think acknowledged afterwards by government. The housing in particular, public housing was allowed, believe it or not, but private housing wasn't. So we lost a lot of people out of the system. And at the same time, we didn't have people going into apprenticeships. Like, this is one of the changes that has to take place. We have to encourage and properly pay people to go into apprenticeships. To answer your question, it's much harder to get a tradesperson to do a small job. But I would have to say, with the subcontractor groups that we would be dealing with, they are well organized and well capable of doing more than they are doing.
There's another story in the news this morning that relates to something you just said there and something we've covered in a lot of detail, excuse me, in the programme over the last maybe 18 months, Michael, that is apprenticeships. There's not enough of them, on the one hand. And secondly, we read in our papers in the last day or two that over 3,000 people left them in the past year.
Yeah, I think the apprenticeships is a real issue. We have to face up to the fact that we have to make it attractive to people to go into apprenticeships. We have to, people have to take a long-term view if they're becoming, if they want to get into a trade. But we have to make it, they have to live whilst they learn.
Yeah.
It's just not feasible for that to happen. And we have to make it attractive for tax-wise and otherwise for apprenticeships, but we also have to make it attractive for people to have apprenticeships. And this is a real issue, and it's an issue that what people earn in the first number of years is just not sustainable, and yeah, we have to face up to that fact.
Where does one start at, say, 17 or 18 years of age in terms of being an apprentice, or I'd say carpenter, Michael? Do you know offhand?
I don't have the numbers straight off, but it's very low. I mean, I don't want to shoot...
It's not even minimum wage, is it? No.
Oh, it is extremely low, and people could do ordinary jobs, if I can call them that, in factories or stores, and earn double what apprenticeships earn in the early years. And it's very hard for people who want to live and enjoy that stage of youth and don't have the money to do so. And they can go into another job that's not a trade. And a trade or profession is a job for life. And people don't fully sometimes understand that at that age. But it's hard to get someone to take a view that you must earn half what your friend is earning and do it for a number of years. So we just have to change that and make it attractive. Remember during the downturn and the issues we had in our industry, people wanted out of building. And unfortunately, PJ, and I know a number of people, we lost people who won't come back because they don't like the cyclical nature of the industry. And that's something, you know, we built far too much at one stage. Now we're building far too little. Mm. But we don't have a plan for housing for the country that's executed on a consistent basis. Mm. And, you know, that feeds into people saying, well, if I become a carpenter, a plumber, electrician, I don't know how long I'll be employed and how long would I be left off. We just have to have a more consistent approach to our industry to attract people in and to give people the confidence if they come in that they have a job that's sustainable.
Yeah.
And there's no question an apprentice is a job for life once you qualify because of what you described yourself with the difficulties. And we have shortages. And there are methods of construction that are improving the off-site construction and all of that. But we still need all these tradespeople. Yeah. Maybe not as many block layers because of the timber frame construction and factories.
Yeah, but we need tens of thousands of carpenters, Michael, let's face it.
We need, and we need them, absolutely. And we need plumbers and we need electricians. And, you know, we just need them.
Like, as well as that figure of people who are leaving, one of the reasons they're leaving, you mentioned the pay, and it... The pay is awful. I know I remember talking to a young apprentice.
I just don't have it to hand.
I know, that's okay.
But it's embarrassing. I mean, it's not awful. It's actually embarrassing to expect people to work for that.
And by the way, I'll come back. Let me come back to that in a second. But the other thing is, taking 6 years and sometimes 6.5 years to complete something you should be able to do in 4 because you can't get the academic places to move on to the next level. That's got to be fixed too.
Absolutely, and this is what I'm saying. We need to make it attractive in terms of just time span, in terms of the early years of being an apprentice, and in terms of the opportunities that we need to make it attractive. We need to sell this to people, and if people come in, then we need to look after them. I feel very sorry for people who have become disillusioned as apprentices are indeed qualified people who have gone off into other areas of life because they don't trust the industry to be consistent. And I think that's a real issue for us.
Come back to me on the pay. And I know that the pay, and you said you haven't got the numbers to hand, I accept that. But the pay of a first-year apprentice plumber, for example, is very low. You wouldn't even make the minimum wage. Is there something, though, to stop the employer paying the person more if they want to?
Look, all sorts of arrangements are made to encourage people to join, and absolutely that can happen. But it's a very difficult situation that needs to be dealt with top down, not employer to employer. This is an issue that needs to be fixed, not sticking plaster applied in different companies to solve it.
Mm. So should there be some state support for an apprenticeship scheme?
There should. Not alone should there be state support, but there should be a policy of attracting people in. Because of the structure that's going to be there. And it's the early years are the problem.
Yeah.
But it's the early years people make decisions on, because they're thinking about, well, what will I be earning for the next few years? And we have to get away from a society, you know, and we might get on to housing where parental support determines people's lives. And you know, some people who are experienced in trades might support their apprentice young people, be it the male or female, but that isn't the case with all households.
Mm.
And that's not a healthy situation in any shape or form.
Something you draw up, and I'm glad you do, because I've spoken, like I said, at some length on trades and apprentices over the last couple of years. And one thing that did come up, Michael, is that in households that wouldn't necessarily have a construction background or an apprenticeship background or a manual labour background, apprenticeships are frowned upon.
Yes. And, you know, I spoke recently to transition students. That is really surprising, because if you become a qualified in a trade, or indeed a profession, be it an engineer, accountant, or surveyor, those, you know, medical, that's a profession that you can take anywhere in the world and apply.
Mm-hmm.
But a trade is something. If you have a trade, you have it for life. And that's a phenomenal asset to have. And people don't sometimes understand that benefit of having that trade. But sacrificing those, you saying 4 years, and 4 years is more than enough. But only if we have a strategy that allows people to know that they go in and they're out, and that they're in the early years, they can live, because everybody needs to live.
You mentioned subcontracting. One of my contributors over the last couple of weeks said that subcontracting had actually damaged the apprenticeship system. Would you agree?
I think that's harsh. I think we've all moved on to subcontracting as a way of delivering more. It's
cheaper,
not a way. Sorry?
It's cheaper for the builder. It's cheaper for you, the developer.
Well, I'd use the word it's more efficient. And I can tell you, I have...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Encourage people in to join some of our subcontractors. It's not taking disadvantage or disadvantaging people in any way. But if you join a subcontract structure, you'll get the right training. I know people want to go back to working direct, but working direct for a builder like us today, you won't have the supervision that you will have in the right subcontractor unit.
So it's but you might get a mortgage easier, Michael.
Sorry?
You might get a mortgage easier if you're directly employed.
Well, you might get a mortgage easier, but I can tell you, if you're working for some of the many subcontractors who are highly mobile and highly reputable, you won't have any difficulty in getting a mortgage with them either.
Okay.
It's easy to criticize subcontractors. It's a fair question, but I think it's something that can be answered and answered very well. Of course, people will always criticize, but what I've seen and my experience of them, they look after their people because they have to. Yeah. Because subcontractors can't succeed unless they have good apprentices coming through with them.
And that's why I brought it up. So, come back to where we started. Simon Harris has said that over the next 5 years, he wants to achieve 250,000 new houses. He said you can't do that in year one, but maybe do it over the 5 years. You're in the business a long time, Michael. Give him three things he could do to help him get there.
Okay. First of all, we have serious issues to deliver that number of units. And certainly Cork is no stranger to those issues either. I would summarise the issues. There's too much talk about the capacity of the construction sector, and I don't think that's an issue, but I'm happy to discuss it. There's a move away from offices, obviously, until things settle down in that area, and hybrid working and all that has had its impact. But to answer your question directly, we have a serious funding issue for development finance if we are to reach the targets they're talking about, because the banks are doing what the banks can do and other alternative lenders are providing an important support in terms of development. But if we are to ratchet up to the numbers that we should be doing and the numbers that are undoubtedly required, someone somewhere is going to have to help with the funding side. And on the funding side, you know, unfortunately, we have disillusioned a lot of international investors in this country because we absolutely branded them as people who we shouldn't have almost at a time when they funded thousands and thousands.
Vulture funds. Vulture funds you speak of. But look at people.
I don't like even using the name.
I know you don't, but look at how much people are now paying on mortgages to vulture funds. They're afraid of their life of vulture funds.
But, sorry, now, I think that's, you're talking about people who might have taken over more loans that were with the banks. I'm talking about people that invested post the crisis and built thousands and thousands of apartments. They're two different situations. And in relation to development finance, we have changed the rule. Rent caps have done unbelievable damage in this country. And when I hear the promotion of rent caps and the promotion of that, if we don't increase supply, PJ, we're going nowhere in this country. And we have to face the reality that we are not dealing with, there's a funding situation. If it's not going to come from abroad, because you don't get people interested in funding development, which is risky compared to funding those REITs and all these, we're getting income out of their finished product. Now we're talking about looking for finance to fund development, which brings planning and all those other areas into the situation, and that is not as attractive. So I think funding is an issue.
Okay.
The state needs to face up to support the banks to lend more, or ICIF or the NTMA needs to face up to the fact that the industry has a serious working capital requirement.
Okay.
And just remember, PJ, a lot of the product that we're building is going to public bodies, be it the LDA or approved housing bodies, EHBs. So you're actually paying expensive money to sell product or to give product to the public system. And the more you pay, the more we pay for funding, the more cost the end user.
Okay.
And I've always, and I've spoken to you before about this, I have a beam of my bonnet about the cost of housing. Like, you know, we have to face up to the fact of course, the government have helped to buy, and they have first home, and they've done some good work recently in extending the development contributions, which makes things more viable. So we have to acknowledge the positives here. But the blunt reality is, if you buy a house off me, you're paying 13.5% VAT.
Yeah.
Like, that is an incredible amount of money. If you were buying that house in England or north of Ireland or in some European countries, you wouldn't be paying any VAT. So like 13.5% of the sales price goes in VAT. In the north, it's zero. In England, it's zero.
Oh.
People don't understand some of these issues.
Well, that's something I did not know, Michael O'Flynn.
Well,
I did not know that.
I'm beginning to talk about it again because, Peter, you're not alone here. Like, you know, when I tell people that, they go, it's almost like we never knew that. Is that always the case? It is 13.5% of the sales price goes back to the government. So whilst I'm acknowledging the supports are critical, I'm just comparing it to our neighbouring country, and indeed to the north of Ireland. And it's just extraordinary that situation is there. So we have a serious... the reason I'm bringing this up is, houses are costing too much, but you know, you need to look at why. Now, in Cork, and let's talk about Cork, I was involved in something yesterday on a national basis. We have a deficit of land zoned in the right places. Of course, we're all in favour of brownfield development, but brownfield development only works if you have serious state subsidy to enable people to live in the city. Because the cost of building in brownfield is way more than the value of the end unit. And I know we have Project Tussock, and there's Project Tussock 2, and the idea, or the LDA are doing good work on this, but Croí-Cónaithe is a scheme where they subsidise apartments, but we need to subsidise them more.
Okay.
In my opinion, stop here. Look at what Cork needs now. We need more zoned land. We need more money in infrastructure, because the scarcity of land means it costs more.
Okay.
I'm trying to get to the in price, work back, and make things more affordable.
Okay.
We need more zoned land. We need infrastructure to be dealt with so that we can build more houses that are affordable for people.
And we need to look at that VAT situation which you brought up. One last thing. You said something a few minutes ago, and I said I'd wind back the tape before I let you go. And that is rent caps. Michael, rent is going mad. If you remove rent caps, if you remove rent pressure zones, if you remove control, it will go madder still.
Okay. And you see, that's what's out there. What you're describing is, here's what the world thinks. It's mad. Okay. Do you want rent to ultimately stabilize and maybe come back down? If the answer
you is see,
yes.
I don't believe it'll ever come down, Michael. And a lot of people don't believe it'll ever come down.
Maybe stabilising is going to be the way of the future. But the blunt reality is, the less supply you have, the more things cost. Rent caps have turned people away from this country. I have spoken to them. We don't want to know about Ireland, because you change the rules when we come. He changed the rules, and it's great. It's politically brilliant to say we don't want rent caps. But if you are going to discourage or turn off investment because of rent caps, that might be okay for people who have the rental situation. But what about all those who need to rent? You need more supply. And remember, the more supply you have in that area, you have housing being freed up. So as a country, and I know there's a lot of political noise about rent caps, the more you impact on supply, the more you impact long-term on rent. And I'm just shocked when people, and it's very popular to say, oh, bring in ring caps, yeah, and keep ring caps. I can tell you, ring caps in every...
There'll be an election fought within the next 12 months, Michael, and rent caps, rent limits, rent controls, it'll be on every doorstep. And everyone will nod their head and go, that's a great idea. Tell me why it's not.
I'm telling you now, you're absolutely right. In every country in the world, and I've researched this because of another cap that I wear, in every country in the world where rent caps came in, they were a failure. We'll eventually have to wake up to the fact that rent caps impact supply. Let's look at increasing supply. I'm not talking about increasing rent. I'm talking about reducing rent, reducing the cost of housing. But rent caps will not help, will prohibit supply, and that will impact on rent generally. And I know people will say, oh, well, that's too high level for me. The blunt reality is, unless you deal with this situation, and it is going to be a political issue. And now, when I hear political people talking about these policies, the person on the ground doesn't really understand this is bad for me long term. And I hope when that debate takes place, PJ, that there is a proper debate, an informed debate, that rent caps are bad for supply and they're bad for rent long term.
Well, here's what we might do then, Michael, at some stage over the next 12 months. There will be a politician or two, several of them I suspect, pushing rate caps as part of their election policy. Maybe you'd debate it on air with one of them, would you?
I'd be more than happy to debate it.
Let's see where we go with that. Michael O'Flynn. That went on longer than we thought. We'll podcast it later. There's a lot of meat in what he just said to me, but there's a lot to change. We need more apprentices. We need to make it more attractive for people to become apprentices. We need to pay them more. We need to sort out that they get through their apprenticeship in 4 years. And we need to... Now, just listen to what he's saying there. Rent caps damage supply. Rent controls damage supply. So if you want to stop, if you want to sort out the supply problem, Michael O'Flynn, who knows his stuff and he's doing it a long time, says you need to stop trying to control rent. What do you think of that? 0818969696. And we will, if any one of the senior politicians, I speak in particular someone like Ona Brin or anyone like that, any people who would talk about capping or limiting or that kind of, if anybody is prepared to take on Michael O'Flynn in a one-on-one debate on this programme over the next 12 months, I'd be very happy to facilitate that. 0818 96 96 96.
Cork's 96 FM.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.